Okay, so there's a review yesterday. I don't think we even taped anything as far as yesterday. So basically the question was, according to the other way to learn, the other side of the Chichasa, is that maybe you'll say that everybody holds that if you throw the knife on the floor, it's definitely good. Right? It's definitely good. So apparently that he holds, right? Everyone holds that, or this is within Rabbi Nassim, I'm sorry. Within Rabbi Nassim, right? Rabbi Nassim holds if you throw it on the floor, it's okay. But maybe you'd say, if it's a katan, katan l'shchita, maybe it's not good because he's not a bar das. So that's a hamin oskana, is within Rabbi Nassim, or what would you hold that it's good if it's a katan who's not a bar das? So definitely, though, if a bar das throws it on the floor, it's okay. So it's not doing shchita. So apparently Rabbi Nassim holds it doesn't matter. Shchita isn't a maiseh ha'adam, like a human action of trying to do shchita, because you see, he's not trying to do that. He's just throwing the thing on the floor. So apparently, Rav Nassim holds that shchita is just that the knife is v'zavachta v'achalta, this limud, right? It all comes from the limud. V'zavachta v'achalta, mashal v'zavachta ochel, is saying, it's not saying that it has to be a human activity of shchita. Rather, saying is that a shchita is an animal whose throat is slaughtered by an adam, and therefore you need a person. It's not just that it's sort of slaughtered by a knife or by wind or by whatever. It's by a person. And therefore, you need it to be a person. Right? And then the Havin Maskana is, does that person have to have das, or is it sufficient that he's not a bar das? But that's the Havin Maskana here. Havin would be, is once you're saying it has to be a person, maybe you'd say it has to be a bar das. Right? Chesha, that wouldn't work. Kamash Malan. No. Even if he's not a bar das, it doesn't matter. Right? But this is all a Chakiru within the side of saying that Shechita is not a Maisa Adam. It's not a human action. It's just that the animal is killed by one piece of the puzzle is that it's a human. Question is, does that person have to be a bar das? Right? So I want to say, what's the question? So the question is like this, is that there's two ways of interpreting the idea, this requirement that it has to be a human. Okay? And as you would have said shchita without this pasuk, you would have said shchita is an animal which is killed through chatichas simanim, through the knife slicing its simanim in a certain way. Now there's a new requirement. The limud is teaching me is it means it has to be matasha ata zoveach ata ochal. You need it to be a person. So there's two ways to interpret that. One way to interpret it is, and this is the maskana, is that the shchita is a specified way of killing, and there are certain pratim which the Torah is singling out and making this as one special way of killing, which is makes it kosher. And if it's any other way, it's possible. What's the how is it, what are the features of this specialized way? That it's with a knife on its throat, whatever psulim, by a human being. Okay? And that's the human being is like not just an ordinary way to die. There's certain chashivos. The human being is like not just another force of nature, but he's a special bria. And a human being doing it is a method. There's such a thing as a thing dying by the hands of a human and a thing dying by the other cold force of nature. Totally something outside of So saying a shchita is, as machshir an animal is, when its throat is slit with a knife by a human being. And if that's the case, then I don't see being mechalik between a human being who has das or a human being who doesn't have das. Because in, other words, in terms of the formula of what's machshir the thing, how did he get killed, is like, what's the source of the death? I mean, the human being is a human being. And it's true, there's a difference between a bar das when it comes to areas which depend upon das, and it comes to maisei ha'adam. In that framework, I understand, saying, is there a person have das? What was he doing? What's he trying to do? But if you're just looking at it so far as the object being killed, it seems to me like the distinction of whether he has das or not is like a distinction of whether he has brown hair or black hair or whatever. Whereas the point is that a human being is that you could identify an animal which died through a human being. But to identify with an animal which died through a human being who has das, halachically, you know, is seems to be not in this way of looking at it, just a matter of how did it die, and saying human being is an element, it seems to be getting too picky, so to speak, or too fine in terms of the type of death. I wouldn't say there's a type of dying through a human being. I don't know there's a type of dying through a human being who has das, you know. There's the even the das is a type of an action that I could hear, but to say that it's a type of death, type of dying is by the death is by even das seems to be is a stretch. So that's the thing. That's the maskana, is that that's the concept of Rabbi Nasan, that it's not that the human being is just a type of death, death by human being. Who cares if he's a ben nas or not? But the other way of learning, the chachamim hold different. I'm sorry, not the chachamim. The havamina was different. That it's not. See, what is the role of the human being? What it all comes down to this limud. The limud is about the echata. It's the method of death, but you need a person, not through wind, through a person. So the other way is to say it's like this, is that what's the idea? The human being is not just another element in what makes it shechita. But the idea of the human being, really, shechita is an animal which dies through this specialized method of slitting its throat, okay, in this special way. The only thing is that what makes shechita a specialized type of killing is the Das Adam. Because if a lion, again, if a lion kills a cow through any method, there's no difference if it happens to coincidentally hit upon Shechita or on any other method. Whereas the Shechita is just another one of the hundreds of random methods of an animal dying. It's the Das Adam who understands the Torah, who understands the fact that there's such a thing as Shechita, and the Torah singles out a specific method that will look at every single other method of killing and say, that's just another death, a random death, one of the million causes of death, and that's Shechita. So when it's only a human being, in other words, Shechita is an animal which is kosher, is an animal which died through this specialized method of Shechita. But the Shechita is only a specialized method when it's in the framework of a human being. When performed by a human being, you'll say that died through Shechita. When it's performed by a cat, by a lion, you know, it's not performed by, or by a wind, you say that's not performed, that's not doing Shechita. It didn't die through Shechita. It died through its knife getting killed, or through some random method of death. The fact that it coincidentally happens to be Shechita is not Shaykh, because the Gavra Ha'osa, so to speak, the Gavra is doing it, doesn't have anything to do with Shechita, and Shechita really is a coincidence, another method, another random method. But when it's done by a person who has Havana, who has Das, when he sees that it happens, he this is not just an ordinary method. Now you'll say, oh, he did it by Shechita, he died, he killed it through Shechita. And even if it's Shelo Bekavana, you'd say he did Shechita, Shelo Bekavana. So even if he didn't mean to do it, but he throws a knife on the floor, he says, look at that, I killed it through Shechita. Right? And it's the fact that the Gavra HaShochet as a concept, as Das, and has a concept of Shechita, then you'll say that it died through Shechita. And for that, you need a Bar Das. If he's not a Bar Das, so then if a Katan does it, you'll say he just died through cutting his throat. That's just another method of death. There's a million methods of death. There's no difference. If he happens to get that one, it doesn't matter. The bottom line is he died through a random method. So it's the Shochet. Even if someone happens to see it, but vis-a-vis the Maisa, which killed it, is just another method of death. It's only if somebody has a concept of Shechita that you could say that this is a different type of a death. This is a death through Shechita. So that's the goal. The Havin Maskana is when the Gezeiras HaKasav is saying, definitely, Rav Nasan holds, you don't need a Maisa Adam of Shechita. You don't need Das. You don't need to be trying to do Shechita. Right? He's definitely saying that. But you do need that the animal dies through a human being. What's the role of the human being? Is the role of the human being to render that random method Shechita, in which case you need Das? Or is the role of the human being just to say no? It's just that it's death through slitting the throat. But another element in the description of the method of death is that it's through a human being. But it's not because the Das qualifies that method as Shechita. The method is Shechita because it's Shechita. It's a method of death. And the human being is just another part of the picture of what defines, of what the method is, which the Torah says is Machshav Behema. So if that's the case, it doesn't matter. A human being is a human being. It doesn't matter whether he has Das or not. Achlok is within this idea. So maybe it'll help us. We're grappling with getting it 100% clear. But there's a further subdivision within this, so sometimes that could help you define maybe there are two svaras mixed in here, maybe it'll help us separate them out. So that's what we're going to do today anyway. So let's leave this for a little bit, and we're not leaving it, it's going to be the same question. So let's look at, I guess, the Rush. Rashi talks about. This is interesting. Again, the question is going to be where the person knocks it off the table by accident, just bangs into it, as opposed to where he throws it down. So the Rush, it's... He talks a lot. It's kind of interesting. It's in... I think it's in... like this. Okay, I'll just read the whole thing. It's on Daf Kufnon on the base. He says like this. It's in the middle of Os Chas. So it says, time of the Nafla. The reason why it's possible is because the sock can fall. So he pilahu, but if he throws down Kshera, even though he's not trying to cut, Elish and Eskavin la pila. Even though he's just trying to throw it down. Since he was at least trying to throw the knife down, and through that nafila, through that throwing down, he caught it. It did shchita. But if it just falls out of his hand without kavana at all, that's just like if we're sitting on the table and the wind blew it off. That you don't say, and you shechted it and you eat it. Because then you're not intending to do anything. The time of the Rav Nasan, the Loboy Kavana Klal Bechulin. Why does he hold the Yoni Kavana Bechulin? And we're going to get to this. I think the Gali Rachmana, the Misasik, postal the Kajim. Because the Pasuk teaches you by Kajim, Misasik, Misasik is where you don't mean to do what you're doing. So it teaches you that that's possible, right? The af lechaticha lo boi kavana. One second, the Masazik calls my kashim. Says the Masazik is possible by kashim, but it's kasher by chulin. But he says the af lechaticha lo boi kavana. Even for cutting, you don't need kavana. The lo ksiva chatachta elavizavata. You just need us to do zvicha, and you don't need kavana for that. Umihu below kavana shum davar. Without any kavana at all, zero kavana, efshar. That can't be. Midachsev v'zavachta, havel chol hapachos kimo v'asisa. Zavachta means that you are slaughtering. So it doesn't mean you don't need to have kavana for slaughtering, but you have to be doing an action which you could say is called slaughtering. So you, it's like it says v'asisa, and you're doing it, and then Halacha will say it's zvicha, because that's what happened. It's slaughtering. But you have to be doing something. Ubinyan acher, and without that, lo mikri koach gavra. It's not even called koach gavra. If you just bang into it, knock it off, you're not trying to act. You just namish, knock it off, that's not even called koach gavra. Right? Then he goes into the other stuff. Yeah. So that's what he's saying, is that you need to at least be trying to do something. It doesn't have to be trying to be doing shechita, it doesn't have to be trying to do chaticha, yeah, even just throwing it on the floor. But at least you're doing something. At least you're doing something. But if you have no kavana whatsoever, it's nothing. That doesn't work. That's the same thing as the wind. You think that's really the same thing as the wind. What's the difference? The wind knocks it off or your elbow knocks it off? That doesn't matter. That he's saying isn't even called koach gavra. Okay? That's the Rush. Now let me read the Rashba. This is on the Gemara. The Mishnah said, "How you pilahu kasher? If you throw it down, it's kasher." He says, "He's tupshatim. Yesh lefaresh. You could explain shehi pilahu shenafla miyado. Shehi pilah means it fall out of your hands. It calls shenafla miyado as long as it fell from your hand. Koach ben das ika. So koach of ben das. We do mean lael." If you have a rock on your lap and you never noticed it, and you stand up, so really that doesn't matter. If it's on your lap and you stand up, that's a koach of an adam. When the Mishnah says it's possible, that's when the wind does it. That's the only case where it's possible. The wind does it, but if a person knocks it off, then you'll say, look, that's Koach Adam. Right, that's fine. That's the yesh lefarish. That's his first shot. But then he says v'yesh lefarish, but you could also say the opposite. The kol shenafla, if it just falls, bein miyada, whether it's from his hand, the bein shepilas oruach, or the wind, nafla karela, that's called nafla. Vein shchitas l'ksheira ad shiapila nehu. Shchitas in kosher until he throws it down. V'hainu dekamrina nahi pila hu. That's why the Gemara says if you threw it, because it's not kosher until you throw it. And that's the sheet of Tosus, which is, I think, is a reference to the Rosh. Okay, our Tosus doesn't have it, but it's the Rosh. Okay? So that's what he's saying is, so at the end of the day, and I realize maybe it's not going to help us with the other thing, because this is according to the Havmina. This machlokas is in the Maskana. Right? In the Maskana, do you say you definitely don't need a bendas? You just need even a cut that works, right? According to Rav Nosson. But do you? Is it called this koch gavra? Right? All you need is a koch gavra, right? You don't need a bendas, you need just a gavra. But he's saying, is it called koch gavra if you only if you actually do it, or even if you simply bump into it, right? Stand up, whatever. Does it demand that you're trying to do something? Or is it even if you're not trying to do anything, it just comes from you as opposed to the wind? Yeah, okay, so the question is, could we define that question? Could we define that? Funny how the Rosh says it's not even koach gavra. Right? If you knock it off. Right? He said that last one, right? So it's not even considered koach gavra. Why is it not koach gavra? It is a gavra, and it is his koach. Right? How does it not become koach gavra? I understand saying it's not a maisa, but it's not even koach gavra. Why is it not koach gavra? Okay, so let me. So I'm thinking it's similar to what Mark's saying. He's saying that. Is let's just start the easy side. The easy side is just to say, look, it's a gavra. Alman is the animal could be slaughtered through many causes. And if the cause is human, then that's shrita. If the cause is wind or an animal or whatever, that's not shrita. You need to be koach gavra. There's always a koach, right? The knife needs koach to move. Where is the koach coming from? Is it coming from a gavra or is it coming from some other force of nature? Right? And that's what shrita is. Shrita is a zavachta vechalta that has to be caused by a human. You don't need a maisei adam of like shrita le kavana and all that, but it has to be caused by a person, by his koach. Okay, every shrita needs koach, and if the koach is provided by a person, that's like a chashuva thing. That's separate. That's distinct. That's just a cause of that shrita. Okay, so who cares whether he knows what he's doing or not? The bottom line is, if his elbow bangs into it, where is it getting his koach from? From him, from the gavra. That's the first position in the Rashba. But the second position in the Rosh, which he ends up going with, seems in the Rosh, they say like this. The basic argument is, this is like Mark saying it, that what's if a person bangs into it, what's really the difference if it happens to be a person or a horse or a wind or anything? Or the way I'd say it is, in that instance, the Gavra is really like a Chafta. It's like a person. It's like his body did it. But it's not like the person didn't do it. It's not like the Adam is doing it. His body is no different than a horse's body. It's no different than the wind. It's just another blind force of nature. Right? If his body just happens to do it. It's nothing to do with... It's not the Adam isn't doing it. The Gavra isn't doing it. It's like the Gavra becomes a Chafza vis-a-vis this result. Because he has no knowledge whatsoever what he's doing. He's totally blindly, his body is just banging into it. So he's saying that's not, it's true the koach comes from someone who calls himself a person, but it's not the koach of a person. It's not like conceptually, it's not, the koach isn't the human koach. It's a koach which emerges practically through a human being, but that's almost like accidental. It could have just as well been a horse that banged into it. So he holds a koach of a gavra means where the koach is imparted by a human action, and a human action is a deliberate action, is that he's doing something, he's active. A human being says, "I'm going to throw the thing on the floor," so it doesn't have to mean that he was thinking to do shchita, But he's not, he has to be acting as an Adam, such that you could say that it's the koach of a gavra. Otherwise, it's just the koach of a body, which happens to be a gavra. But that's not conceptually. His whole thing is that the koach gavra means the koach of a gavra qua gavra, insofar as he's acting as a gavra. So how does he act as a gavra? He does something. He's deliberately doing something. So it's relaxing. Rav Nosson goes so far as to say he doesn't have to be trying to do shchita, but it still has to be that the action takes place through a Maisa Adam. And a Maisa Adam means that he's, like the Rosh Hashanah says, he has to be doing a Maisa, Be'asisa, something. So if it comes about through an action of an Adam, then you'll say that's like what differentiates like an Adam from anything else. An Adam decides to act. Everything else is just like a raw force of nature. So if a person, but a person, his chiddush is that a person could be like a chafza. A gavra could become a chafza if he has no, if he's totally, has no knowledge whatsoever what's going on, and he's just banging into something or standing up, then he's not that's not an action of a gavra. That's simply not a gavra. He's not, but here, if he tries throwing it down, he's a gavra, he's just saying, I want to throw it down. Now, it may not be because I want to do shchita, but he's still acting as a human being. He's making a plan of what he wants to do, and he's doing it. He's throwing it down. So now it's the koach. Now, what's that action happens to provide, that Maisa Adam provides the koach to the shchita. So he'll say it's the koach of a gavra. So it's not that you need his das or his him trying to do something in order to be calling it shchita. It's just that he has to be acting as an Adam. Meaning doing a deliberate action such that you'll say that the koach is really provided by a Maisa Adam. As opposed to the other way, the first pshat in the Rashba holds that koach gavra just means that the raw force has to come from someone who's an Adam. It doesn't have to be that he's not, it doesn't have to be acting as an Adam. It just has to be the cause is Adam, the koach. The mechanical force, the energy comes from an Adam. So it doesn't matter if conceptually. It's almost like practically it's the koach of a gavra. But conceptually it's not. Conceptually it's just the koach of a body, which just happens to coincidentally be an Adam. But it could have just as well been anything else. It's just another raw force. So that's the question. The koach gavra have to be a conceptually tied to his nature as a gavra. Or you say, no, gavra is chashiv, and if the koach comes from a gavra, then that's it. I don't really care if he's functioning as a gavra or if he's, you know, deliberately doing anything. I realize this isn't going to help us with the other side, because the other side, which we started with today, which I claimed that we were, you know, this is going to help us with, I realized that afterwards it doesn't. I realized this morning also, I just forgot. But that was the havamina, which held that you need das. You need a ben das. Like a katan, you don't need das to do a maisa adam, just to throw something down the floor. You need das to be able to think and differentiate between this action and the other action, this type of killing and the other type of killing. That's like a different idea. Avamino is holding that you needed a ben das to identify or to differentiate this killing from all the other kinds of killing in the world. Right? And for that, you needed to be a ben das. Otherwise, the action which he does is just killing, right? But the maskana is you don't need that. It's nothing to do with das. No, the adam is just gives it the quality that it's done by a human being.
They can all have koach gavra.
Yeah, they can all have koach gavra, right? Right. All you need is the koach gavra at the maskana. The havmina was that the idea of the gavra is not just to give it koach gavra, not just to say that it's a result of a human action, but is to say that it's a shchita, because it's a gavra, it's done by somebody who is shayach to shchita, who has knowledge of shchita, who knows what's going on, who at least knows what shchita is. So then you could say that he's doing, the action that he's doing is now defined as shchita, because he's shayach to the concept of shchita. So now you'll say when he does it, he's doing shchita, whether he knows about it or not. The action that is being done, when you have a ben das, here's the point, when you have a ben das, who knows about shchita and he does this action, you'll say that's defined as a shchita. If you have a non-ben das who does it, he's just doing chaticha, he's just doing killing. So that was the havamina, was that you needed the feature of das so that you'll define the action as shchita as opposed to just killing. Maskana is no, it's defined as shchita automatically. You just need a gavra so that you'll say it's a din of koach gavra. So he has to be doing an action, but that it's not, it's nothing to do with das identifying it as shechita. He just has to be doing killing, but it has to be a human killing. Human killing is a killing which is done by a human being who's trying to do something. He's acting as a human, even though he doesn't mean to do killing, but at least he's acting. Whereas opposed to the other position, the other side, the Rashba holds that no, simply that there's a force, that the shechita took place, and the force which brought about the shechita was the force of Adam. Doesn't matter whether he's acting as a, whether it's the, you know, is acting as a gavra or not. It's irrelevant. It's a new sugya, related, but not totally new, but newish. Pretty new. Okay, at least for starters, it's going to seem like it has absolutely zero to do with what we're doing, but it will connect. Okay, but very interesting question. It says, Idmar, Nida Shenen Savatavla. So if a Nida, a woman's a Nida, now here's the thing, a woman who's a Nida has two nafkaminas. First of all, vis-a-vis Kajim, that she's Tameh, like anyone else who's Tameh, and she can't eat Kajim, and she can go to the Mikdash, right? Like any other Tameh. And she goes in the Mikvah, and she removes the Tameh. And secondly, is an Isser Bia for her husband, vis-a-vis Isser Hatter. It's not because she's Tameh, it's not really Tumah per se, it's an Isser Bia. And it, maybe it's related to Tumah, but it's not because it's nothing to do with Mikdash, it's just an Isser Bia. So there are two different nafkaminas to the Shechel Hashem of Anida. There's a nafkamina vis-a-vis Tumah Tyra, and a nafkamina vis-a-vis Isser Hatter. Okay.
This is pretty different.
What? They're different.
Pretty
off topic. Oh, it's pretty on topic. Yeah. Okay.
Tied in. Good luck.
So now it says like this: is let's say Anida accidentally goes in the mikvah. Let's say she falls off a bridge and lands in the water in the mikvah. Like a mikvah could be like an ocean or whatever, you know. And she's on a boat and she falls into the, she gets knocked out and she ends up in the mikvah.
Doesn't matter if it was like a cannonball or a jackknife.
No, it doesn't matter.
No, any falling.
Any falling, yeah. Right. Any falling. So it says, what happens? Nida shenon sevetava. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Tehora lebesa. She's mutter to her husband. Ve'asur lechol b'tshuva. But she's still tamei. Okay? So it works vis-a-vis Yisra v'heter. It doesn't work vis-a-vis Tumatar. So is she still a Nida? Depends. There's a difference. Vis-a-vis Yisra v'heter, she's not. She's in some Tara, she is.
So when is it taking place in her thing?
When?
So like in the middle, she's still straight up Anida?
She's Anida vis-a-vis Taman Tara.
Isn't she bleeding?
Oh, no. She's like, in theory, she's ready to go in the mikvah. She finished her 7 days, and she's whatever, she's ready to go in the mikvah. If she would go in the mikvah, the shame, mikvah, whatever, then definitely she'd be Tara for both. Now she just falls in. Right? Without any kavana to do it, she just happens to fall in. Right? So now it says, vis-a-vis her husband, she's fine. She's not Nida anymore. But vis-a-vis Taman Taira, she's still Tame. And she can't eat Kachem. And Rabbi Yochanan, number after Beis Ol Taira, even for her house, even for her husband, she's still Nida. Okay, it doesn't work. Okay. It says like this. So Amalei Rav Lor of Nachman, the Rav Damer Torah Lebeisav Asur Lechol B'Truma. Rav says she's mutter to her husband, but she's Asur and Truma. He says Avon Kares Hutchra Yisra Misum Ibaya. You're mattering her to have bia with her husband. Having bia with her husband, if she's a Nida, is an Isra Kares. But the Isra eating Tuma, eating food to Kajim and Tuma, is only an Isra of Misav Deshmayim, and that's in theory a lesser Isra, right? Kares is Chamor from Misav Deshmayim. So it's saying is, it doesn't make sense. How could you tell me that it's going to matir her for her husband, which is an Isser Kares, and not matir the Isser of Achilles Kachem, Betuma, which is an Isser, lesser Isser? So the Gemara says, Amar Lei, Baila Chulan Hu. The Chulan Lo Bai Kavana. Her husband is Chulan. And by Chulan, you don't need Kavana. Kavana is necessary when it comes to Kachem. When it comes to Chulan, then you don't need kavana. Okay, kavana is a factor when it comes to kachem, not when it comes to chulin. Okay. Then the Gemara goes like this: this is the Gemara on Lamed Aleph from the Beis. It says so. Rabbi Yochanan's the one who holds that you need kavana, that she's tough for, she's for both of them. It doesn't work, and you need kavana both for chulin and for kachem, right? Both for iser atar, which is chulin, and for kachem. So it says that it's a kasha though, because the Gemara says we am Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, we am Rabbi Yochanan Halach Stam Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan holds in general Halach is like Stam Mishnah. It's not Nafla Sakin Veshachta Avol Pisha Shachta Kedarka Psula, right? The Avinu about time of the Nafla Hapila Ukshera Afla the Machavin, right? So it says from our Mishnah, this is what we did: is if you do Shchita without Kavana, it's good. You try to throw it on the floor and it does Shchita. You don't have any Kavana, you're just doing it. It works. The Amrina Mantana Dolbe Kavana Shchita Amar Rav Rav Nasani. This is it's Rav Nasan. So you see that Rabbi, that's a Stam Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan holds like Stam Mishnah, and you see it's by Chulin, right? You see it's by Chulin. By Kachim, this wouldn't work. By Kachim, Shchita needs Kavana. But you see by Chulin, Shchita, Kachim, it does work. Right? You see by Chulin, it's saying is that it works even though you don't have Kavana. Right? So, but Rabbi Yochanan, when it comes to Nida, he's saying is just like by Kachim, you need Kavana to make her Tahar. So too by Chulin, by vis-a-vis your husband, which is Chulin, you need Kavana. So it's a stira. Does Rabbi Yochanan hold Chulin and Kachim are the same, and you need Kavana by both, just like you need to remove the Tumas Nida by Kachim, you also need it vis-a-vis Chulin, vis-a-vis husband? Or do you say no, that he differentiates between Chulin and Kachim? Like you see by Shchita, it's saying by Shchita of Kachim you need Kavana, but by Shchita Chulin you don't.
What does it mean, Stam Mishnah? Meaning he's supposed to hold like Rabbi Nasan?
Yeah, he holds like the Mishnah, right.
I mean, Rabbi Nasan has this regular Mishnah, and so Rabbi Yochanan is supposed to hold like him.
Yes. Yeah, Stam Mishnah means is like when a Yehuda Nasi writes something in the Mishnah without any unqualified. He doesn't say Rav Nasan holds. He just says it. Open halach on the Mishnah without qualifying it. So some say that if he says that, even though that might be a Shita Yechidi, it's like one position, Rav Nasan, since Rav Nasi wrote it, Stam, without saying Rav Nasan Omer this, so it means Rav Nasi would be passing like it. That's just a halachic Stam Mishnah means whenever the Mishnah writes something without saying who it is, it means we all like it.
Don't think who it is.
Doesn't say.
Our Mishnah didn't say Rabbi
Yochanan. Our Mishnah didn't say Rabbi Nasan. Our Mishnah just said.
We just figured it out.
Yeah, we figured it out. Rabbi figured it out.
Oh, okay.
So, but that's what he says. Halakhah Mishnah means that whenever the Mishnah does that, it means we all like it. So that's Rabbi Yochanan holds. So that means, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we all that by Kajim, by Shkulin, you don't need Kavana, right? For Shkita. But by Kajim, you don't need Kavana for Shkita. So apparently they're different. But yet by Nida, that's not his position. By Nida, that's the other position. The other position says, yeah, by Kajim, you need Kavana, but not by Chulin. Right? But Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you need Kavana by both. So it's a problem. So if you need Kavana by both by Nida, why don't you need Kavana by both by Shrita? So he answers, he says, no. Rabbi Yochanan says, Afilu, I'm sorry, Amar Rabba, B'Shrita, Afilu Rav Nasan, Rav Yonasan, Ben Yosef. One second. Yeah. The Gali Rachmanim is Asik, Bekodshim, Pasul, Machal, Dechul, Nobai, Kavana. So he says, really, in general, he'd hold, it's the same. Really, in general, he'd hold Kodshim, Chul, and they both need Kavana. But by Kodshim, by Shchita, the Torah goes out of its way by Kodshim to say, by Kodshim, Shchita, you need Kavana. To teach you that, but by Chulin, you don't. This is like a limud, that the Torah, since the Torah has to go out of its way to tell you by Shchita that you need Kavana by Kodshim, it's like a mir. It's saying because it's Kodshim, you need Kavana. But by Chulin here, even though Chulin normally needs Kavana, Shchita doesn't. Shchita is so light that even by Kodshim, the Torah had to go out of its way to tell you that you need a Kavana. You need a zavachta, you need kavana for it. So therefore, it's a lima to teach me that chulin not that way. But in general, Rabbi Yochanan would say that you always need kavana both by kachim and by chulin. It's like a separate lima here. It's a separate meal. Okay, I'm just kind of getting the basics of the facts here. But I mean, this is the beginning of a sugi. We have to get into all these things. I'm doing a lot of stuff. I'm saying a lot of things.
Didn't they ask that? It seems like an obvious question by kachim. Why do you need a lima in the first place?
Yeah, well, the Gemara then says, oh, so then how are the Rabbanim going to explain that? Why do you need that limud? I mean, the Gemara's going to go more. I'm just kind of stopping short. But basically, this is why I just wanted to show you why I'm not just now going into sugi about Nida. You see, now it's a little more related, right? But what's this whole idea? Needing Kavana, not needing Kavana, by Kulin, by Kodshim, like what's the Machlokas? What's the idea? Why is it this thing? By Kodshim, you always need Kavana. By Kulin, there's Machlokas. And then there's a question of how you differentiate. But it seems like in theory this is a more general question. It's not so simple. It's not just a shechita question. It kind of has more broader scope. You know?
Again, this has nothing to do with mitzvahs, trichos, kavanah.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Because this is, again, it's like Taira. It's not like a mitzvah.
Have you given
a
shiur on that sugya before?
I think so. Sure. A few times.
Well.
You know, it's like the kind of thing that comes up often, yeah. You know, but I don't remember exactly. Yeah. Okay. So let's. What's today? Wednesday. Okay. So let's try to get going on this tomorrow. I mean, it may take us a little bit of time to get through. I'm just, you know, but let's just try to get into it.